Good morning, church. This is the day the Lord has made. Is there something else, the second part of that? I can't remember. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yes. Shall we do that?
Amen.
You know, worship is always better with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Let's invite Him into this place. Glad that you're here. I want to welcome you, welcome our live stream worshipers. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. Father, we love you. You are good. You're the King of Kings. There is no name above your name. So we do. We lift high that name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Would you send your Holy Spirit into this place? Would you stir us? Change us, transform us, convict us, do only things that you can do. And we pray it in that name that is above every name, Jesus. Amen. Rise if you're able. Let's worship together.
Good morning. Let's join together in worship.
Turn your ear to heaven.
Infinitely sweet, this great love.
children, if you would come forward.
Today, I am going to start with a story because I heard a story and I thought that's an interesting story to start today with. Basically, my story happened in a faraway place long ago, and in this faraway place, it seems the trees spoke. So take that as you will, all right? So long ago and far away, there was a woodcutter going through the forest. And he was just traveling, and it kind of seemed like he was searching for something. And so the trees were looking and wondering what he was doing. And finally, one tree said, "Mr. Woodcutter, are you searching for something? May I help you?" And the tree and the woodcutter said, "Why, yes, I am looking for something. I have my axe, but my axe handle broke, and I need a strong piece of wood to fix my axe handle." And the tree said, "Well, my wood is very tough. You can use my wood to fix your axe handle." And the woodcutter was very happy. He says, thank you very much. And he used a branch from that tree and fixed his axe handle. Do you know what that woodcutter did once his axe was fixed? He cut the tree down. Yeah, he did. And what he said was he gave some very good advice. He says, "Before you give, make sure you give wisely." And I mean, like, brilliant. That is great information to have. So I mean, like, what does the Bible say about giving? And I learned that the Israelites in the Old Testament, they gave something that was called first fruits. And that's an interesting word, first fruits. And what that means is that after the winter, when it was spring, they would be looking forward to eating the fruits that came. So they had apple trees, and there would be apples, and there'd be grapevines, and there would be grapes. And they would be looking forward to eating this fruit after the winter. But that's not what they did. They did not eat the fruit that came first. Instead, they took those first fruits, the first apples and the first grapes, and they took them and gave them to God. Why do you think they would do such a thing? I know they wanted those grapes and those apples. Why would they give the first ones to God? I figure there were two reasons at least. What are your thoughts? Yes, they want God to know that they love him and they worship him. And I think they wanted God to know that God came first in their lives. So the first thing they did was give their first fruits. All right, so I wanted to figure out a way to help you understand first fruits and what it may mean to you. And I chose candy kisses. Who here would like all of these candy kisses? I bet that looks pretty good. And if I gave you these, and there's like 40 of them in here, if I were to give them to you, first fruits means that before you had even one of them, you would take out what you would give to God. How many should we give to God?
All of them.
Ooh. All right, so how many did you get? All right, that was an easy one. No candy kisses for you. All right, but then, this one has 140 candy kisses in it. All right, if you had 140 candy kisses, and you're thinking, I would really like one of these. We just gave 40 to God. All right, none for you? No? But that's a hard decision. Yeah, well, it's your thought. You wouldn't mind having one, huh? Yeah, so just he can give his out. You take one. I got it and I understand it. But that's what first fruits is. It's deciding when you receive something, when something comes your way, how much are you going to give to God? And how much are you going to give him first before you have your own? Because you could choose to give, you know, 10 or 20 of these, and you could still have, you know, 110 left for yourself. You could choose to give 100, and you'd still have 40 for yourself. Each one of you would have to choose individually how much of your first fruits you are going to give to God. So actually, I'm going to make you decide that at snack time today, because you guys are pretty sure I wasn't going to give you 140 of them. But at snack, I am going to give you 3, all right? And I want you to decide at snack time. Now it's getting personal, isn't it? At snack time, are you going to keep all 3? Will you hand back 1 to give back to God and you keep 2? Will you hand back 2 for God and keep 1 and eat it? All right, that will be your choice at snack time. So you can just kind of think about that, but that's going to be something you will have to decide at snack time. Now, what you have to remember is first fruits. What are the 2 main reasons? It's to show that you love God. And it's a way of showing that you put God first. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray may we honor you and show our love by keeping you first in our lives, in our hearts, and in our giving. This I pray in your most holy name. Amen.
So, how many candy kisses would you give back to God? Anybody see my comic this week? Did you get it? My cousin is a little slow on the uptake. She didn't get it. Yes, you got it? Like when, you know, when we give our lives to God, when we surrender him, we like to give him everything. Sometimes we like our stuff. Does anybody like their stuff? We like our stuff. So if you would rise with me as we recite this Apostles' Creed, if you are able to rise, Christians all over the world are reciting this creed this morning. Let's say it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So a couple of announcements. You should see, there should be an insert in your bulletin about the Men's Summit. It's coming up the end of this month, and the information is right there. If you are interested in going that, I think you will be blessed. Also invite a friend and register for that. Also, this Wednesday night, our Wednesday night activities start back. Glenda, where's Glenda? I think Glenda, raise your hand. Glenda's our new food coordinator. Woo-hoo! Just Glenda, one rule: just always make sure there's plenty for the preacher. I'm just saying that's the rule. Okay. We're happy to have Glenda on board with us. So the meal is from 5 to 6. As Billy says, it's the best $4 meal in Abilene, probably the only $4 meal in Abilene. But we have from 5 to 6 the meal, and then at 6 o'clock the children go to their ministry, the youth ministry breaks out, and then the adults, we have community groups. I was telling the early service that You know, I love people coming to worship service, and that's a good thing, and I encourage that, and I'm glad that you're here. But when we, you know, you can't build relationship in an hour-long worship service, that we're here to worship. But the way you build relationships and connection with this body is through community groups and Sunday school and serving together. That's primarily how you do that. So I encourage you to be a part of that. It is a good time. I also want to give you an update that Miss Carlene, I'm assuming that her and Billy are at home watching. Her surgery was successful Wednesday, and she's having a little bit of pain. Billy gave her a stick to chew on. That's the type of caregiver he is. But no, she's doing well, just trying to overcome, you know, the recovery and a little bit of pain that she's having in that recovery process. So we praise God for that. There's some things in your bulletin. Hopefully you will be praying over those things each week as your week goes along. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Just spend a couple of minutes thanking the Lord for who He is, what He's done, what He means to you, what He's done for you. Father, we are just grateful. We're thankful for who you are. As I've said so many times, Lord, and as your word proclaims, we know what love is because you are love. You've demonstrated your love. While we were yet sinners, you died for us. You've demonstrated your love on the cross. We don't ever have to wonder how you feel about us. You've proven it and you've demonstrated it. Lord, you've also given us victory over our greatest enemy, death itself. And you're also, what just such an awesome God. You're also the God, that Jesus, that you said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. So you're a Savior that has saved us and given us eternal life, but you're also a Savior that gives us rest and walks with us right now, today, whatever our circumstances are. Perhaps we are sad or confused or depressed or discouraged. You, Jesus, say, come to me, and I'll give you rest. So I pray, Lord, I lift those up on our email list, our prayer list. But Father, even beyond that, there's maybe some this morning, either right here in this room or perhaps worshiping online, that just needs to know that you are real, that needs to be embraced by you. So like a child crawling up in a parent's lap, let us do that. Crawl up in your lap and let you embrace us. You are good. And we love you because you love us. You loved us first and you loved us best. Lord, we pray that as we talk about the future today, we surrender future, our personal future, our family's future, and this church's future to you. We trust you. Because you are trustworthy. We pray now, prayer Jesus, that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to thank you for your continued financial faithfulness. It allows us to do the ministry that God has called us to do. There are giving boxes at both of the doors. Also, you've got some instructions online where you can give through text or our app or our website. Thank you again. Let's worship.
So as we continue in worship, I told early service, since I picked up this opportunity to be up here doing worship, I have had one request over and over and over, and it's this song. And I think a lot of people really, really like this song. And the thing is when I look at this song, though, more than anything else, I think people like this song because it's a proclamation. It's a proclamation over you. It's a proclamation over your friends, over your family, over this church, over anybody and everybody that you care deeply about. And something about that proclamation stirs us to want God even more, which is really, really cool. And so with this, that's my challenge to y'all this morning as we sing this, is as we sing these words, I don't know about you, but I always have people in my mind when I'm singing these words. There are people that are filling my head as I'm singing praises and singing this proclamation over them. But I would also encourage you to find God in that moment as well. Find God in that moment of proclaiming His presence and His love and His mercy and His peace over everybody else. So let's sing this morning.
Just wanna speak the name of Jesus.
Welcome again this morning. Glad you are worshiping with us. Anybody build a snowman this week? Okay, I don't see any hands. I guess not. We got a snowman back there. Okay. A snowman back here. Good deal. Good deal. If you are our guest worshiping with us this morning, we are really glad that you're here. We love guests. We love guests that even become not guests. So if you are a guest this morning, there's a card with a blue stripe in the pocket in front of you that says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out and would love for you to meet me at the end of the service. I'll be down at this end of the foyer and have a free gift for our guests. We'd love to meet you and get to know you a little bit. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 6. Now, we got four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew and John actually were eyewitnesses. They walked with Jesus. They saw the miracles that Jesus performed. This John chapter 6, John wrote this. John was there. He experienced what we're going to read about. Verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Anybody ever know anyone that wants to be a Christian because of what they think they can get from that? Want to hang out with Jesus because maybe he'll give them something they want? Seems like that's happening here. Verse 3, then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There were plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Now he's talking about the men and their families, men and their wives and children, so it was much more than 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves. He gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish when they had all had enough to eat. He said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. I think we all need you, but I know I need you, Holy Spirit. Would you speak? Convict our hearts, transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's message is, the Lord will provide. Now, let me start off by saying this. If you've been coming to church here for very long, you know the number one topic that I despise preaching on, money. I was reading an article from another pastor, and he was kind of expressing that same concern in his own ministry, and he said, "I used to preach on giving once a year," and he said, "I would always start my message off by saying, 'Hey, we're going to talk about money today, tithing and money and giving, but come back next week, we'll have something really better and good for you.'" It was almost like making excuses. And he said, the Lord began to convict him that, because... just like the comic that I put out in the email, y'all saw the comic, right? Most of you saw the comic. The things that can take the place of the Lord in our lives Those are called idols. And we struggle. I started to do this, but I'm going to have mercy on you. I started to have everybody take their cell phone and pass it to the person next to them and just let them hold it a while and see the blood pressure begin to rise in the sanctuary. These can become idols. Did you know that? And you could do the same experiment with your wallet. What would you think if I had asked everybody, take out your wallet and pass it to the person beside you and just let them hold it a while? The blood pressure would rise. Why is that? Because we like our stuff. We like our stuff. So I'm not going to apologize for speaking on it today. Not going to apologize. The Lord will provide is the message. This passage that we read today, it was one of 37 miracles that Jesus performed that's recorded in the four Gospels. One of 37. And did you know it's the only one that's in all four Gospels? Many of them, many of the miracles, one or two of the Gospel writers talked about those things, and that the other one or two didn't. This one is in all four Gospels. It's kind of written from a little bit of a different perspective, but it's recording this event. Jesus seemed to be telling us something. We like our stuff, and we tend to think that we can control things in our lives. I was telling the early service that Brent gave a good word to our men's breakfast yesterday, and he referenced and spoke of Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, which is a very special verse to me as well. And I would add to that, and what the Lord's kind of convicted me, not only to trust in the Lord and lean not on our understanding, but also to not lean on our abilities to provide. This verse 10 said that Jesus had the people sit down. Have you ever wondered why some things that the gospel writers recorded, there was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000. Why did he say that? Why did he say there's plenty of grass? I don't, maybe identifying where this took place. Back in 2010, Cheryl and I and several of from the church got to go to the Holy Land. That was number one on my bucket list. Go ahead and show. This is a shot. We were in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, which, by the way, is really a lake. It's called the Sea of Galilee, but a Lake of Galilee just doesn't have quite the same ring to it. It's a big lake, and this is, I think, on the west bank, and it's of the lake, and you can see there the hills and the grassy area that perhaps this may have even taken place. So we're gonna unpack this scripture a little bit, and then I want to talk about what I think the Lord would be speaking to us about that. The first is that we need to understand that God is our provider. We, as I said, the trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding, or lean not on your own ability to do whatever it is you're needing to do. God is our provider. And this comes from Genesis 22. Jehovah Jireh is a name that's given to God, which means God, our provider. And it goes back to this Genesis 22, the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham has been promised this son, and this great nation is going to come through Isaac. And he has Isaac, and he takes him to what we know today as the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah, which is kind of in Jerusalem. It's kind of the holiest place in Jerusalem, this mount. And it's not only holy to the Jews, but to Jews and Christians. It's also holy to the Muslims. They think that Muhammad ascended, I think, on a white horse or something. I'd have to go back and look, but they think he ascended there. So it's this area is very holy to these different faiths. But this event happened with Abraham and Isaac on the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah. And so God promised this great nation through Isaac. And then he says, oh, and by the way, take Isaac up on this mount and sacrifice him. So Abraham, by faith, took him up. He's on his way up there, and they're carrying wood, and they're carrying the fire, and they're carrying a knife. But then Isaac looks around and he goes, hey, Dad, where's the animal? Where's the animal we're going to sacrifice? And what did Abraham say? The Lord will provide. And then he gets up there, and Abraham ties Isaac down. He places the wood around him, and he has the fire, and he raises the knife, and he's getting ready to fulfill what God had told him to do. And he hears a voice, stop, don't do it. And he looks over, and there's a ram caught in the bush, in the thicket, by his horns. And so Abraham, they took that ram, they sacrificed it, and said, and Abraham named that mount, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. I don't know about you, but we tend to be, even especially like men, or we're told, you're the provider. You're the provider. When in reality, God is Jehovah Jireh. God is our provider. Secondly, I think this passage tells us today is that God steps in where our abilities run out. That's when he does his best work. Can you imagine these disciples? They see these 5,000 plus their families that are gathered around, and Jesus, man, it's almost like Jesus is like poking them with a stick. He's saying, hey, where are we going to feed these? These people are hungry. Where are we going to feed them? And kind of testing them. In fact, John says, he said it to test us. And then Philip said, 8 month wages would not buy enough for everyone to have one bite. We can't do it. What they're saying is, Jesus, we can't do it. Anybody ever been there? The disciples saw the need, but they didn't have the capacity to meet it. Well, church, I may be getting a little bit ahead of myself. We're going to be talking about our new building project. And I just tell you, this is weighing heavy on your pastor. Because I don't like talking about money. It's not my giftedness to raise money. And I have, in all honesty, and Jesus, I'm confessing to you as well as these fine folks, I've let that burden be mine. It's not mine. It's not mine. I told Cheryl this week, man, we need God to show off. That's all I got. That's all I got. I God, show off, because I can't do it. I don't have the capacity. Where God steps in where our abilities run out. That's the best place to be. Is sometimes I tell people, one of the greatest prayers is, Lord, help me. Help. God steps in where our abilities run out. Third point, if God can use a little boy's lunch, he can use you. Think about it. 5 little bitty loaves, 2 fish, and they're looking at feeding 5,000 plus. And I don't know if they, I sometimes wonder about this little boy. John makes Gospels, and when they're recording this event, they don't talk about the little boy. They just say, hey, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish here. But John says, there was a little boy that had this. I don't know if they went over there, hey, give me that. I don't know if they did that. Or if the little boy went, I've got this. That's the way I hope that it was. That's the way I admit and imagine. I've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not much, but you can have it. If he can use that little boy's lunch, he can use you and I. And then fourthly, God always meets or exceeds our need. Well, they started with just the need was there. These people were hungry. Jesus was using this as an opportunity to not, the objective was not to feed the people. The objective was to teach us a lesson. When you can't do it, I can. He always meets or exceeds our need. They gathered these, what started out with five little loaves and two fish. They gathered the pieces that were left over. Nothing was gone to waste, and they filled 12 baskets. They ended up with more than they needed. It kind of reminds me of when I placed the need of the Bibles a few months ago. You remember that? And the Lord laid it on my heart. I think we're supposed to raise another $5,000 for this church, for these people in Africa that don't have Bibles. And I came since I'm such a champion of faith, I'm thinking, Lord, we just gave several thousand dollars to this. Another five? And I laid that out there, and we raised $12,000. Manessa, the pastor, the African pastor, was brought to tears with that gift. And that reminds me, God says, I ain't raising no $5,000. How about 12? Let's do 12. You fill the, nothing goes to waste. You fill those other 12 baskets. You came to me. You didn't have the capacity. It wasn't in the budget. Just put it out there. God always meets or exceeds our need. And I think about it. Too many times I think about what this is going to cost me. I think, the people, those of you know who you are, if you gave part of that $12,000, even if it was $5, if you gave part of that $12,000, it felt good, didn't it? To be a part of that. You go, man, I helped buy a Bible for somebody that didn't have one. They were tearing pages out of the one Bible they had and sharing those around the village so that they would each have some of the Word of God. God always meets or exceeds our need. So I want to shift gears. That's the essence of, I think, this message of God as our provider. If you're not on our email list, I encourage you to get on there because from time to time, and to read them from time to time. That's always helpful. Time to time, I have something on there that's, worth hearing and worth reading. But I've been putting out for several weeks now. I've been putting out a digital copy of our meeting that we had back in November, which I'll be referring to more in a second. But it talks about the project, and I'm going to hit some of this very quickly because it's 45 minutes, but about 10 minutes of that is questions. So I'm going to hit this very quickly because you can watch that video and hear more detail. But the trustees, if you don't understand how the Methodist Church is set up administratively, we have committees. We have Church Council Committee, which is our kind of our highest committee that kind of puts the rubber stamp on everything else that's been done, budgets and salaries and if we're going to buy this or buy that, it goes ultimately will end up in the church council. But we also have trustees, which are over our assets, our building, our grounds, and things like that. We have a finance committee, which helps form the budget and then monitors our finances, keeps us true to our calling and so forth financially. And then we have what's called a Staff Parish Relations Committee. You may hear that SPRC, which is kind of a personnel committee, which evaluates how we're doing in ministry, evaluates your pastor, and so on and so forth. And then we have a nominations committee, which nominates people to be on those committees. So the trustees over all the assets recognized all the way back, probably around 15 years ago, recognized, hey, we're really growing and we might outgrow this building. And so they began to look at what do we want to stay here? We want to buy land, we want to build. So they began to look at that as long ago, it was like 15 years ago. And then that moved into, we decided we need to buy some land so that we can build when it's time, we can build a new building, because we're kind of somewhat landlocked here with 4 acres. So the trustees, through the trustees, and it ultimately went to the whole church, we purchased 10 acres of land on Buffalo Gap Road. If you go down, take a left on Buffalo Gap Road, go down past Mesa Springs Retirement Center, that plot of land is ours, 10 acres. We purchased that in 2013 for $250,000, which was a stretch for us back in 2013. But we did it. We're also debt-free, by the way. Woo! Yes. We have been debt-free for many years. Then, around 19 or so, we had that land and we were just kind of sitting on that. Then we began to get serious. It's like, hey, we're outgrowing our building. We need to have what we're going to do. So the trustees authorized a feasibility team in 2019-20, and we began to, the feasibility team had people in key different areas that were developing what a building might look like, and we were estimating the cost of a new building back then at about $10 million. And then COVID hit when we were just getting ready to start drawing up those plans and so forth. We put the project on hold for 3 years, returned to the project in 2023, a couple of years ago, with what was estimated to be around $10 million became an estimate of $30 million. Well, we evaluated that for a little bit and really came to the conclusion, no, $30 million is just not where I think the Lord would have us aim. So we changed course, which was always there. We changed course to Plan B. Roll Plan B for us, Lee. So first you should know that those are artist renderings of what it might look like that it would you know, not necessarily, we may tweak things, you know, how it looks and so along the way, just a rendering of the perhaps. That project went from 30 million to build a whole new building to about an $8 million project for that phase one of what we just showed you. Our 10 acres that we purchased for $250,000 is worth $2 million plus today, $2 to $3 million, the trustees have talked about sitting on that until we get closer to needing the cash, and it's not doing anything except going up. So that was a great investment for the church, $250,000 some 12 years ago, that's now worth $2 million plus. So that would go into that project. We had the meeting on November the 17th, and 97% of our voters voted to proceed. The trustees authorized our architect to move forward with full plans with the survey and engineering and civil and all of the above, which brings us to what I want to spend just a second on is the money. We are looking at a five-year plan and we're hoping to raise $5 million. I'll talk about that in just a moment. Right behind me out in the foyer is a wall that Billy put together. I think Brent helped him with that as well. And Billy designed that wall and put up some of our drawings. It's got some floor plans and some renderings on it. Go ahead and show that slide, Lee. That's what's out there, and you can get a little bit better look. Billy put that together. We talked about it, how we wanted to design it, and he put all that together, and he sent me that picture. I was at home, and I said, man, that looks good. All we need now is $5 million. And so I got the second picture just a few minutes later. Go ahead, Lee. Y'all had no idea that Billy was such a master raiser of funds. His concept is a plastic waste basket. I'm gonna put it down here. This is just a joke, okay? It's just a joke. But it reminded me, go ahead and, this reminded me of, Lee, play that video.
We're gonna make it, George.
Six.
That'll never close us up today.
Five, four, three, two, one. Bingo! We made it, Cousin Arthur. Since we made it, look, we're still in business. We still got $2 left. Well, look, let's have some of that. Let's celebrate. Get some glasses, Telly. Well, a couple of financial wizards.
Those Rockefellers.
Get a tray for these two great big important Samoans here.
We'll save them for seed. Toast.
A toast. A toast to Mama Dollar and to Papa Dollar. And if you want to keep this old building alone in business, you better have a family real quick.
I wish they were rabbits.
I wish they were too. Okay, let's put them in the safe and see what happens.
Mama Dollar and Papa Dollar right here. Better have a family real quick. Cheryl, I forgot to tell you, we're donating $2 to the building fund this morning. So, that's all good. I don't know why. Maybe, and I know that there's a couple in here that I visited with recently, didn't know who Jimmy Stewart was and didn't know that had never heard of It's a Wonderful Life. That's a clip from It's a Wonderful Life. I will not embarrass anybody and tell who that was. So, again, the church is debt-free. We've got this $8 million project that the church has voted on to proceed. We need to raise the funds. And I'm just telling you, your pastor stinks at this. It's not my thing. But I hope in 22 years that I've gained some sort of trust from you. Our trustees have been, this has been mulling over this issue. Some of you, this may be brand new. It's like, oh man, wow, I didn't know all that. But the trustees have been looking at this for over 15 years, the need for this. It's been coming. I think about, we have our current building fund, which there's some unresolved things on our roof, which may take some of this, but we currently have over $500,000 in our building fund. And just since I've kind of put some information out there about the building, we've already raised $103,000 for our capital fund drive before I even launched today. And plus we've got the land, which is hopefully $2 or $3 million by the time we sell that. That's going to be going for that. You know, you may think that, golly, you know, I can't give thousands of dollars to a building plan. And some of us can. Some of us can. And some can't. But I'm thinking about that little boy. And he just says, I know there's 5,000 people here that need to be fed, but you can have my lunch. You can have this. It's all I have, but you can have it. So don't think that if you can't contribute huge amounts of money that you can't participate in this. I also want you to know that I've actually asked all of our staff and all of our committee members if they were willing to all support this drive financially. And 100% of our staff and 100% of our committee members, which all that, I mean, it's probably 60 people or so, have said yes, we will support it financially and with prayer. And I say this next thing, please don't take this as any sort of boasting, but I think it's important that you understand that your pastor, Cheryl and I, that we're gonna support this financially. We tithe, we give 10%, and we have prayed about it and talked about it, and we're gonna commit an extra 5% for the next 5 years to this project to add to that. You know, a few years ago, before I was a pastor, I was in another church, and I don't know how it even got back to me. I wasn't on staff or anything like that, but somehow it got back to me that our pastor didn't tithe, didn't give anything financially to the church, and I was like, what? I mean, even then, that was 30 years ago, even then, that confused me. I'm like, what? You're pastoring the church and you're not supporting it? I just didn't understand that. I just want you to know Cheryl and I are supporting this, and we love you guys. We love our church. And you don't see the picture now, but you know the one comment about the rendering of the sanctuary, the people aren't saying, hey, I think this wall needs to be moved over. People aren't saying that. They're going, how come the little picture of the pastor's got hair? I've had like 10 people ask me that. Nobody's asked me about the design of anything. So you will not have a new pastor. I am going to get some hair plugs, but well, Cheryl would leave me. So I want to say three things that I don't want for our church. My heart, I don't want this for our church. I don't want to become a church that you're going to hear about this capital fund drive off and on for a while, but just to keep it out there in front of us. But I don't want to become a church that all we talk about is raising money for our new building. I don't. That's not. God hasn't created us for that. He's created us to save souls and to bless people that bring healing, physical, emotional, spiritual healing to people, and being that kind of a church. That's what I want us to continue to be. I don't want us to also, number two, I don't want us to stop doing the extraordinary ministry that we are currently doing. I had Naomi check this. Naomi keeps our books. I had her check this past week. We give approximately $230,000 a year goes out in ministry. Goes out from our church. I don't want to take away from that. I had several years ago, many years ago, we were in a meeting and we were beginning to talk about building a new building, that how we could do it financially. And this was, golly, this was 15 years ago. And someone said in the meeting, said, maybe we need to stop doing so much outreach to help pay for that. And I just went, no. Not with this pastor. That's not what I want us to become. So I want us to continue to do ministry, and I don't want us to take away, I don't want people to redirect, you and the Lord work this out, but I don't want people to redirect their tithe and go, you know, we tithe, but I think I'm going to tithe to the capital fund drive instead. Because then we are not able to do the ministry that we need to be doing. This is a lot. This is so different than my normal messages. But I was talking with a friend last week, and they had been praying into this and asking the Lord why. Not in a bad way, just discerning way. Why, Lord? And what the Lord said to them, and I would come right alongside this, is because I want you to be about saving souls, and they need a place to sit. He's bringing people, hurting people. Michael, I don't want to embarrass you, but Michael, has this church been a blessing to you, brother? I could go around the room. That's one of the things that, man, y'all are such a blessing to me, and I know the Lord is pleased with us because you love on hurting people. And so, as my friend said, the Lord says they need a place to sit. We can't start new Sunday school classes because we don't have room. We can't start new community groups because we don't have room. We've got Sunday school classes meeting in the fellowship hall. We got some have met in the office. We've got children's ministry that sets up in the sanctuary every Wednesday night because we just don't have the rooms. God's bringing people, and that's a great problem, but we've got this building before us. I believe it with all my heart that He's called us to this. The ways you can do it, you can write a check, give cash, whatever, and mark it Capital Fund Drive, and it'll go directly into that. 100% will go directly into that fund. You can give through the Wiley Methodist app, the Wiley Methodist WileyMethodist.org website, and if you do click on the give, you go down and there's a Capital Fund option where it'll go right in. Cheryl and I set ours up twice a month, the 15th and the 30th. We'll be 2.5% twice in a month. That's how we're doing it. We set it up and it just goes. You can just give whatever the Lord calls you to give. Maybe the Lord, I mean, something simple. Maybe the Lord's saying, you know what? Just do without that cup of coffee once a week and give that. This past week, Naomi and Kitten and I are on a conference committee called the Connectional Council, and we were having a Zoom meeting Thursday, and we were talking about something for the conference, but one of the guys, and it had to do with giving and money and what to do with money, and this one gentleman said this, and it really just popped out at me. He said, we can't outgive God. The blessings that God will bestow on us for giving, and I'm not even talking about financial blessings, but just knowing, I was a part of helping with those people, with those situations, with those funds. If the praise team will come on back up, if you'll just bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. And I don't know, maybe this is my confession, Lord. I confess to you that I can't do it. I pray, Lord, that you would take that burden off of me. Don't place that burden on anyone else. We trust you. We trust you because you are Jehovah Jireh. Father, all we have our tiny little lunch, our lunch money that we're going to give you. But we see very clearly that you are the multiplier of the little that we have. And Lord, as I talked with Cheryl this week, we need you to show off. I need you to show off. May you receive the glory for all the things that happen. We love you and we trust you and we rely on you. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll rise if you're able. Shirt on underneath here. It's okay. Everybody relax.
Cheryl, the things you never thought you'd hear.
Get in there. Put it on the screen.
There you go.
Two fish, five loaves equal 5,000. God is our provider. He will see us through. He's called us to this. He will see us through. I love you guys. God bless you. Go and tell someone. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.